Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number one. I'm Jim Galante. I'm along with T. Frank Carr and his cat.
Yeah, the cat.
How's the cat doing, T. Frank?
I put him out. He's not in the room anymore because he was looking at me like, yeah, I'm going to be a problem. I'm going to jump on your face while you're working. So he is no longer in the room. Every once in a while, I think I can trust him, but it never works out.
Well, calling him a problem, that's not the phrase you used prior to us getting on the air. So we will move on from that. T. Frank, we've been looking at position groups over the last couple of weeks. We've hit running back, offensive line, wide receiver, tight end. It's now time to go to the other side of the ball in the defensive line. How about we look at defensive end first this segment? Next quarter, we will take a look at the tackles, okay? How's that sound to you?
Sounds good.
All right, let's get started. Defensive end, this past season, with Arnold E. Bakiti and Jesse Lakeda, it feels like they got a lot more than they could have expected from that position.
Especially seeing as neither of those guys were on the roster even a year ago, at least at those positions. So, yeah, and they complemented each other pretty well as far as Ebikidi being the pass rusher and being a good player all around, but really providing elite-level pressure on the quarterback, and then a guy who was a disruptor and was at sometimes unblockable coming off the backside in Jesse Lakeda, you know, as a run defender. So that combination worked really well for Penn State when they were churning. And the problem really was, what else? And I think that's what the question is now, is what else?
One potential big piece to this puzzle is Adisa Isaac. He was the guy that we thought was next in line to be one of those really good Penn State defensive ends. However, he missed all of last season. First of all, what do we know about his health, if anything? And do you think he could be plug that hole as that number one guy?
So what we know about his health is that he was injured early enough in the season that Penn State could plan for his replacement. So he was injured at some point, I think, after spring ball, before camp. So that would be the first thing to say, is he should be on pace to be a part of the winter workouts right now. But as far as what his injury was, the severity of it, we don't really know. Like, we just don't know. James Franklin hinted at the idea of modern medicine. You won't rule it out, but he's likely done for the season, meaning if they made a deep run in any sort of capacity, he may be able to come back, which again puts you at January for your return to play and then your return to practice and all of those things. So that's really all we know. If anyone tells you they know anything about his game specifically, they're lying to you, because we really don't know his game outside of a handful of reps. I was pulling it up here just to give you the idea of what he is as a football player in terms of his production on the football field over the course of several seasons, and it's not a lot. I mean, 2020 was his biggest season in terms of total number of snaps, and it was 179. He has less than 100 pass rushes in his career. Less than 200 in his career. So we have flashes, and somebody asked me after the 2020 season, like, what did you think of Adisa Isaac? What did you see about him for next season? I'm like, honestly, I didn't notice him, you know, comparatively to the other guys. So we're going to learn together what Adisa Isaac really is and isn't as a football player.
Exactly. It takes a while, especially. I think there's also the question, after a guy sits out an entire year because of injury, is he the same guy that he was prior to injury? And again, we don't know much about it. But how about just the fact that he's sitting out for a full season? What effect does that have on a player?
Well, it depends on how the player attacks the rehab and the nature of the injury. You know, is it a structural injury? Is it something that's going to limit his physicality? He was a player that is undersized, 244 pounds is how he's listed on the roster. So his burst and his speed are his calling card. If you take that away, then I don't know what he is as a football player. Out of the things that I do know, those are the things I know about him. So he needs to add size and needs to be advancing as a football player from a physical standpoint to be the guy that Penn State is hoping that he can be. With all of that said, there's no reason he can't rebound from that. There's no reason unless something bad happened during his rehab or there was something that went wrong that would prevent him from doing that. I mean, I don't want to cop out with saying modern medicine is a miracle, but we see players come back from injuries and that would have ended their career. You know, Achilles injuries used to end players' careers or at least end their effectiveness. And we see guys come back within a year, 18 months, and they are a version of themselves that was there before, and they can work themselves back to being whatever their physical potential was. That was not the case 10 years ago even. So I wouldn't put it out. And by the way, I'm using Achilles injury as an example. That is not in any way me trying to say that he had an Achilles injury. I have no idea. But I'm just saying that I was thinking of the worst possible scenario of guys that have had injuries and you can see physically they're not the same. And those sort of things, if you rehab correctly, you can come back from now.
Is there such a thing, though, as just rust from not being on the field? Forget putting the injury aside, just not having played, you know, a serious game. It'll be like 2 years for him.
Yeah.
How much effect does that have, if any?
If he were coming back only for training camp, I would say it's a problem. But with spring ball and everything else in between, I think there's enough time to shake off some of that rust. To get hit a couple times, to have somebody lean on you, to have all those muscle memories return. I tend to think that that stuff is real but overstated because this is something they've done their whole lives. This is what their lives revolve around. And if they're worth their salt, then that muscle memory comes back pretty quickly. I don't want to say it's like riding a bike. It's like riding a bike when people are throwing tires at you. But, you know, it's kind of this. If you know to do something, your body should be able to get back into the swing of that pretty quickly, as long as you have an acclimation period, which if he has the spring and training camp, I think that should get him ready for the early part of the season. There's still going to be rust there. He's not going to come back 100% most likely, but I don't think he'll be so far behind where he was before that it would be a huge detriment.
Is Nick Tarburton the default other defensive end, and what did you see from him last season?
As of now, yes. So I think as a whole, they're going to be fine at defensive end, especially that strong side. But you're never looking for just fine, especially if you're Penn State. You want to put pressure on the quarterback. So that was the one part that I don't think we saw from him. And then when he was inconsistent as a run defender, that tended to limit his production as a football player overall. But he's a good run defender. He's an aggressive, physical player. I think he and Zariah Fisher, not surprisingly, are really similar, coming from linebacker playing defensive end. I think technically they're getting to be pretty good football players, but it's just pass rush. Can you get to the quarterback? And he did not prove that last year. Looking at his numbers as far as his pressures and sacks, they were... for the defense in general, it was pretty unimpressive. It was a team that, outside of Arnold Ebikidi, who had 52 pressures, Nick Tarburton had 13. Came in fourth on the team behind Brandon Smith and Derek Tangelo. So that's not good. That's not good enough for Penn State to be able to do what they want to do at that position, which then opens the door for whoever can.
Well, let's talk about that whoever can among the youngsters. And first of all, they don't play two defensive ends. There's usually at least a cycle of four of them rotating in and out, which means at least a couple of the youngsters have to step up and be a factor. You mentioned one name, Zariah Fisher. Fans got a little excited in the bowl game about Smith-Vilbert. Go over some of the youngsters and tell us who might be the guys to step up.
Well, I'm going to put on my cape, my wet blanket cape about Smith-Vilbert. So watching the film, he got three sacks. He was playing hard. He had a couple good rushes, but they were not the production that it seemed based on how each sack went, because part of it was the quarterback, whose name escapes me right now, KJ Jefferson, held onto the ball for an eternity. Now, when a quarterback does that, make him pay. And that's what Smith Vilbert did, more so than any other defensive end. So that's a great sign. But as far as like winning with technicality and winning with good bend and all the things I'm looking for in a guy that's going to be a difference maker next year, I did not see that. I saw hustle and I saw heart and I saw length. You know, he's a long kid. He's got the size. I think he's a little stiff at times turning the corner. And I don't know that he has the power or the burst that you need to make up for that. So working on that this offseason, he can absolutely do that. He can turn the corner and be a monster. That's been his potential the entire time. But that's not what we saw in the bowl game. We saw a couple other factors that led to him getting three sacks, with one of them literally being he escorted the quarterback out of bounds as KJ Jefferson was running out of bounds. That's not a sack. That's you were the closest person, so it's a technicality. It's a stat. But outside of that, it's really been the story of last season is who is going to step up. Smith Vilbert did not quite do that during the regular season to take some of those reps and keep Arnold Ebikidi off the field, who played 750 snaps, one of the top players on the team in terms of just never coming off the football field. Amin Vanover, another guy, I'm just listing names right now. There really wasn't anybody that stepped up to command attention or presence in the defensive end room, which is why Penn State is actively pursuing a couple in the portal in Grayson and Gabriel Murphy from North Texas. Super pass rushers. And I haven't looked in their film deeply, but just on the surface, they have 20 combined hits on the quarterback and 18 sacks at North Texas. So North Texas, yes, but they look much more like Arnold Ebikidi did on paper than some of the guys we've seen them offer in the portal so far. So we'll see how that plays out. We'll see if they're interested in coming to Penn State, but that would be an answer to the question of what about the other guys on the depth chart, which is Penn State's bringing in pass rush if they can.
And finally, the youngster of the group, Denai Dennis Sutton, getting a lot of play. He'll be a true freshman. He did not enroll early, so he's not there on campus yet. Can he be a factor as a true freshman?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, and I would expect him to be. I've been told in no uncertain terms by some people on the internet that he is going to start, which is a stretch. Just because, and I made this comparison before, Micah Parsons didn't start out of the gate. He didn't start his whole first season when he was clearly better than the player in front of him. The senior started and he played more snaps. So that's, I don't think it matters. Like you talked about, 4 to 6 defensive ends play anyway, he's going to see snaps. And as far as his translation to the next level, he's the most technically advanced player I've seen come to Penn State that I've personally scouted. Yitor Gross-Matos overwhelmed guys, and he had great potential to do those things. Dafe Owe was explosive and violent and all of those things. I've never seen anyone use their hands the way Dennis Sutton does. And he's got length and a lot of power. So I think that's a very good sign.
Something for us fans to get excited about. All right, T. Frank, that's it for quarter number one and the defensive ends. Quarter number two, we'll go defensive tackle. Stay tuned.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hearty souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.